My name is Sue. I'm Pastor Gary's wife. Today I'd like to share with you my Truths That Transform passage. Psalm 91 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty." I'd like to share with you a story about several years ago. I found myself in the local hospital in the emergency room. Gary was with me there, and the doctors were trying to find out what was wrong with me. At one point, the doctor looked me straight in the eye and said that he thought I had liver cancer and I had just a short amount of time to live. And I, for the next 3 hours, I contemplated my life. I was wheeled up to the second floor of the hospital in a very squeaky wheelchair that just echoed through the empty hallways. And I contemplated what this doctor had just told me. The doctor later on, after I had a CAT scan, came to me and said that his hunch was wrong. And however, I was still very ill, but it wasn't life-threatening. And I ended up spending the next several months in bed and studying God's word and listening to what the Lord had to say to me. I came across, I studied Psalm 91, and I also did a lot of reading. And I came across the life of a man named John Wooden. He was a basketball coach. He was actually the winningest college basketball coach of the time at that time. And he grew up on a farm and in a very hard-working family. He studied God's word, and he developed what he called a success pyramid with different godly characteristics like industriousness, hard work, cooperation, team spirit. He defined success as peace of mind, which is a direct result of self-satisfaction in knowing that you did your best to become the best that you are capable of becoming. It's not success based on what somebody else is doing, but on becoming the best God made you to be. And when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, we're spending time with the Lord, we're studying His Word, and we're becoming aligned with aligning our lives with His. And this is what gives us stability and a firm foundation. Thanks for letting me share with you.
Amen. That was a scary night, heading down to the hospital. Maybe you've had that experience before, and it was kind of scary when they said, hey, you probably have liver cancer, and you know, you should probably get your affairs in order. And praise God they were wrong. Ultimately, it was hepatitis, probably picked up from a taco restaurant in South Stockton, which will remain nameless. But anyway, there you go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you hold on to us and you desire for us to cling to you. We thank you for this psalm and its power. We thank you for the safety that you provide for us. Thank you that we can depend upon you. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Let me read the entirety of the psalm. I actually had it already, a guy with a brilliant Scottish accent reciting this, but I didn't have time to line it up, so I won't do a Scottish accent, but I'll do my best California accent I can. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wing you will seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terrors by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks the darkness, or of the destruction that lies waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, for you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against the stone. And you will tread upon lions and cobras, and young lions and serpents you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him and let him behold my salvation. Next to the 23rd Psalm, there's very few psalms that are beloved more as it relates to a psalm of protection. In fact, in the First World War, there was actually a brigade called the Psalm 91 Brigade. And they all memorized this. And in fact, there was a group that would hand out Bibles. And those Bibles on the front cover was made with metal, and it was meant to go right over the heart. And there are some famous stories of soldiers that were shot, and the Bible itself stopped the bullet. In fact, there's one, I'm not sure if it's apocryphal or not, but the fact is, it's a great story that it stopped, and actually the bullet penetrated, and when they opened it up, it stopped right at Psalm 91. All right. It's very, very possible. You know, this psalm is about security, or the lack of security. We live in a world today that is pretty intense as it relates to the issue of security. I was in Las Vegas this week visiting my mentor, a pastor who trained me. Two friends of mine went to him. He had a stroke, and he's not able to actually communicate with us anymore. But his daughter runs a security firm, and they set up security cameras all over Las Vegas. In fact, if there's one that was interesting. It's out in the desert. It's a mine. And it's a massive operation, and there, surrounding the mine, they have security cameras, but also things that will trigger alarms, if motion detectors. And then along the way, hidden under rocks and stuff, there's speakers, so that if someone's intruding, you're warned, and you can speak to them and tell them, "Hey, get off the property." They're even developing drones and stuff that can remotely go and check out who it was. When I was growing up in Bakersfield, California, I remember door-to-door bomb shelter salesmen would come trying to protect us from nuclear fallout. For some people, their security is in their IRA, their savings, equity, investments. I know a pastor who was literally a couple months from retiring, and then the big crash of the stock market happened. Interesting what happened is that instead of retiring, the Lord led him to pastor several other churches. You know, and so God works in mysterious ways. But today we want to look at this. We want to look at the abiding life, the assured life, and the abundant life. Friends, the solution to this issue of security is clearly in this, that we find our shelter in the Lord. And you cannot do that. You cannot do that by putting our lives in some kind of spiritual cruise control where we find ourselves engaged in the Lord. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We see ourselves in relationships with God, not something that we only do on Sunday or something that we got passed on by our grandparents or parents or because we're Americans or whatever, but it has to do with the depth of our personal relationship with our Creator. Not by our own definition. So in this first passage, we are given four metaphors of this relationship. One is a secret place. Next is the shadow of God. Next, a refuge and fortress. And then there's other ones with shields and bucklers and things like that. But we're seeing these powerful metaphors. The secret place, the hiding place of God. Have you ever found that place? Have you ever had to rely on that place? Sue and I did when we were sitting there at the hospital and we were told, you may have months to live. And I'm, you know, very fortunate, we praise the Lord, that the doctor would say, I'm sorry, you know, I was mistaken. Well, you know, maybe he shouldn't have said that in the first place. I don't know. Freaked us out. But God used that to grab our attention. And the attention was this, do we have a sense of security in Him? This is backed up by four divine names of God. He's called the Most High, Elyon, which cuts everything down to size. If He's the Most High, then everything's underneath Him, right? He's called the Almighty or El Shaddai. That's the name that God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was the God of the homeless patriarchs who wandered, who they could trust in. He's also called the Lord, which is the word Yahweh, or we get the word Jehovah. And he's the God who says, I am. The I am who I am. The I am who is with us always. And then he says he's my God. That's the word Elohim. It's a general term for God, but it's personalized by saying He is my God. And this is the thing that I learned years and years ago at age 16. I had grown up in the church, and I had a mental assent that God was there, but He was not my God. He was my parents' God. He was my grandparents' God. And I needed to know Him personally. Do you know Him personally today? Is He the Lord of your life today? That's the nature of this. It's about abiding. And with the abiding comes a sense of assurance. Now, I want to read this again because there are some tremendous promises. But we want to be able to put these promises in perspective. So here, starting again, verse 5, you will not be afraid of terror by night. I think that's one of the great assurances. If you know the Lord, you will not live in fear. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. It's about the with me part. And if God is something that is only a Sunday morning thing, or ever only when we're in need, then it's not a God, not a relationship that can guard you from fear. And we see this wonderful promises. You will not be afraid of the terrors by night, or of the arrows that fly by day, or the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noon. Thousands may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. James Chalmers, a Scottish-born Presbyterian missionary, sailed for the South Pacific under the London Missionary Society in 1866. During his 35 years of service on the frontiers, he lost two wives, but the grief only moved him to greater dedication. He vowed to bury his sorrow in the work for Christ, and in the spring of 1901, he and Oliver Tompkins were on an exploratory trip on the coast of New Guinea called the Fly River region. The two went ashore, and they were not, when they did not return, the search party went to look for them and came with the news that Chalmers and Tompkins had been clubbed to death, chopped into pieces, cooked and eaten by the natives. So one has to determine they probably weren't true followers of the Lord, right? Because what about, hey, no arrows will pierce you. So obviously we realize this, and I'm being facetious there. Obviously these were great men of God who, and we find out later that their very sacrifice would bring an open door to that those very people. And so this is a passage here that we have to take be very careful about, because I could say to myself, well, boy, there must not be a God, because I've been a believer now for over 40 years, and there are some challenging things that have come my way. I've had flat tires, right? I've gotten in auto accidents. I've gotten sick. I have a sick daughter. I've had four of my dearest friends in ministry, my age, die of cancer. My mom, who loved the Lord took her home, and she was 54, died of breast cancer. So this is all just a bunch of lies, or there's something about it even deeper that I must understand, and that's the case. Friends, we find security and a life free potentially from fear as we make the Lord our dwelling place and our safe security. Other verses that we can look at. Psalm 44:22, for thy sake we are slain all day long. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Jesus himself said in Luke 21:16, some of you will be put to death, but he also said in verse 21:18, but not one hair of your head will perish. So there's something in this that God is able to protect us from evil and to deliver us. And very clearly we can go to probably the most important explanation of this passage, and it's by the very words of the Lord himself. Psalm 91 was quoted by the devil because he can quote scripture too. And he said to Jesus out in the wilderness in this time of temptation, hey, throw yourself off of this, because he has given his angel charge concerning you. And maybe the greatest explanation of this passage, Jesus' retort quotes scripture and says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You see, Jesus himself would be beaten, would be tortured, would die on the cross for our sins. Why? That we may enjoy the secret place of God. There is no other secret place. The secret place of God is finding your life wrapped up in the life of Jesus Christ because of what he did on his death, burial, and resurrection for you. It is no longer that we live, but that Christ lives within us. And so, in that context, nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing. Five missionaries were martyred with spears in January 1956 in Ecuador. One of them was Jim Elliot. So Elizabeth Elliot, writing in her book about her husband Jim, she called her book, The Shadow of the Almighty. She quoted Psalm 91. It would be the fact that those missionaries would perish, that ultimately the door to the hearts of the Aka Indians would be opened. Elizabeth Elliot answered and said, "The world called it a nightmare and a tragedy. The world did not recognize the truth of the second clause in Jim's credo. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Friends, this is not some get out of jail free. This is this, that nothing can touch you except by God's hand. And so the issue is this, that no evil will befall us. Why? Because we're wrapped up in Christ. Does that mean that no trouble will befall us? No. Once again, Jesus said in Luke 21:16, some of you will be put to death. And in the same breath he says, but not a hair of your head will perish. Both of those are true. Charles Spurgeon put it this way, that great preacher of the 1800s. "It is impossible that any ill should happen to the man who is beloved of the Lord. Most crushing calamities can only shorten his journey and hasten him towards his real reward. Ill to him is not ill, but only good to the mysterious form. Losses enrich him. Sickness is his medicine. Reproach is his honor. Death is his gain. No evil in the strictest sense of the word can happen to him, for everything is overruled for good. Happy is he who is in such a case. He is secure when others are in peril. He lives when others die. Your executioners may laugh you to scorn by when you quote Psalm 91, but in the end, you will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked." Friends, this passage is not that you will not have any trouble. This passage is about, are you finding your security in the Lord? Are you resting in Him? What are you resting in today? I want to challenge other fathers. A great privilege in my life to be a father. And I look at those who have impacted me, my father and my grandfathers. And here's what I can say, is they modeled for me. You find your greatest strength by finding your strength in the Lord. Not by yelling. Not by acting tough. Man, we find our strength. The strength that we need to raise our kids, to be a good parent or grandparent, to be a good husband. The greatest gift that you can give to your family and to this country is to find your security in the Lord, to rest in Him. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Almighty, of the Most High, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He who says to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence, and He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark." I've been a believer now over 40 years, and here's what I can tell you. You can trust the Lord. And I can say that to you as a person who has had more than one challenge or calamity in my life. It's not the first time that Christian people at times struggle and wonder, boy, Lord, what are you doing? That's one of the reasons why I love Psalm 73, the Psalm of Asaph. Asaph says, "Surely God is good to Israel and to those who are pure in heart." That's the truth. God is good to Israel and to those who are pure in heart. "But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling and my steps almost slipped because I was envious of the arrogant." And he looked at the wicked and the arrogant, and it's like they got everything. They got the best houses and the best education, the best food. They got away with murder, all these things. And he's just eating away in his life, saying, "Lord, what about me?" And he finally says, "Therefore his people return to this place and waters of abundance are drunken by them." And they say, "How does God know? And is there knowledge of the Most High?" Verse 12, "Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They always increase in their wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands of innocence. For I am stricken all the days and chastened every morning. If I had said these things, if I would speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of my children. In verse 16, and when I pondered to understand this, it was troubling in my sight. So this is a person who is struggling with, he doesn't understand the concept of Psalm 91, which I think, once again, was probably written by Moses. He's seeing only from one perspective, and then he goes to the secret place. Look here, verse 17, until I came to the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end. And this is where it ties in with Psalm 91. Surely thou hast set the wicked in a slippery place. Thou dost cast them down to destruction, and how they are destroyed in a moment. They are utterly swept away in sudden terrors, like a dream when it comes, when one awakes. O Lord, when aroused, thou wilt despise their form. Friends, look here. If you are a believer, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are finding your security in the shelter of his relationship, that will not happen to you. Period. You are delivered from that. Asaph goes on, when my heart was embittered, I was pierced within. I was like a senseless and ignorant beast, a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continuing with thee, and thou hast taken hold of my right hand, and with thy counsel thou wilt guide me, and afterwards receive me to glory. And here's his confession now. Whom do I have in heaven but thee? And besides thee I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from thee will perish, and thou hast destroyed all those who are unfaithful to thee. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. And I have made the Lord my refuge, that I may tell of his wonderful works. See, Asaph figured it out. It is the nearness to God that is his good. So we see the abiding in the shelter of his wing, in the secret place, the assurance that he will deliver us, and then ultimately an expression of the abundant life in verses 14 to 16. Let me read that. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him, and I will set him securely on high. Because he has known my name. This is talking about those who know him. Let's start it again. Because he's loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble and rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him and let him behold my salvation. Friends, that's the abundant life promise of God. Those who love him. Those who call upon him. That's the security. That's the security that we need. That's the security that it's talking about. During the offertory, I played the song Held by Natalie Grant. Why did I do that? Because she wrote that song as a result of someone who had lost their child. And she's wrestling with this, and ultimately it gets to the point. It's really about being held by God. Are there things that have happened in your life that you just don't understand yet? Are there disappointments or things that have gotten broken? Unanswered prayers? Situations that you go, wow, why would that happen? Here's what I can tell you. It will all get sorted. God promises. But what about the wicked? The wicked, it says, are in a slippery place. And they should fear because they are depending upon themselves. Our lives, friends, we can walk in a sense of assurance. Why? Because we're perfect? No, because Jesus is perfect. And he has provided the perfect hiding place. I will never leave you or forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. Nothing will separate you from the love of God. Romans chapter 8. In this world, you'll have tribulation, But take courage, for I've overcome the world. John 16:33. Jesus has promised to us time and time again, I will be with you. Friends, we need to find our strength in the shelter of his wing. Years ago, when I was a youth pastor, it was 1991, and the Gulf War happened, and one of the girls in my youth group was called up, and she came back, and she was a changed woman. And one of the reasons why she was changed is that she was there in Saudi Arabia and in Kuwait. And remember when they were launching those Scud missiles? And she's there, and the Lord drew her attention to this verse. The Scud missiles were in the air, the sirens are going on, and they weren't sure where they were going to land. One landed about a quarter mile away, hit a barracks, and killed some people. She came back with a greater sense of assurance that in the midst of that, that nothing could touch her unless God so desired. And so to those missionaries that were chopped up, or this Jim Elliot who was pierced by swords and arrows in South America, here's what I could say. The Lord held them. The Lord holds you now, if you would know him. Now, how do you come into a relationship with God? There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. It's not through just living a good life or finding a great church or reading the Bible. Those things are all important. But here's how it happens. You enter this secret place through first admitting that you need God, admitting you're a sinner, admitting that you're broken without him, and you're turning to him. That's repentance. And he is the one who has to give you the strength to do that. Then we believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, dying on the cross for our sins and raising again. And we confess him as our own personal Lord and our Savior. You do that through prayer. You don't have to take a special class for it, though that may be helpful. It is an interaction between yourself and your Creator and your Redeemer. You cry out to him. He's more concerned with the attitude of your heart than the exact words. But here's the words. You surrender your life to the King of Kings. On the back wall on the way out, there's a little pamphlet about following Christ. On the back of the card that's in front of you, it also explains on the back of that the plan of salvation. And it would be wrong for me to any long period of time from this pulpit is to expect that everyone that sets in these seats completely understands that. Because here's what God wants. He does not want you to walk in fear. He wants you to walk with him. And he has provided the way through Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. We thank you that you are the good shepherd and you have provided for us, you protect us and watch over us. We thank you for these wonderful promises and we know that you've given your angels charge concerning us. So thank you, Lord, that we're in your hands. Help us to see ourselves in that special hiding place with you. And we pray this in Christ's name, amen. Well, we're going to sing that song again. Hiding place. And last time, we did this a couple weeks ago. We did it as a round. I'm not sure if we'll do that. We'll give it a try, though. Let's stand together. You are my hiding place.
You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with song of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with song of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. I will trust in you.
You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Friends, there's plenty of things to be afraid of. You can be afraid of the future. You can be afraid of yesterday. You can be afraid of shadows. You can be afraid of those things at night, the nightmares of things. But it says this, with the Lord, you don't have to walk in fear. How's that sound? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Mighty, Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Let's trust in the Lord. Let's find our secret place with Him. Seek Him out every day personally. Walk with Him. Read the Bible. Pray. Spend time in fellowship, encouraging one another. Our Heavenly Father, we pray these things. Help us, Lord, in our lives to walk with you, to not walk in fear. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Have a great week. And those who have some questions about the parking, park, and playground, be right next door straight away.